Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The sky's the limit, right?
Just really excited to get everything going and get the season started.
It's training camp time.
Yeah, baby!
As the morning shift gives you all the action live from Flowery Branch.
Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app for our 2024 Falcons training camp coverage. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Move it that inspires. Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Time Atlanta. Margaritaville. And by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is the Morning Shift, the traveling edition. I am Bo Morgan, known as Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon.
Nobody cares.
And side seat driver, Mike Johnson. And she
Navigator.
Is, wait, she is the Danica Patrick of this show, but with more wins. Maria Martin joining us from 11 Alive.
It's hilarious because, man. You know, someone was texting me and I was like, I can't text because I'm actually driving a race car right now, a.k.a. my car. We made it.
Look, man, if you are just now joining us, let me keep you up to date here. Bo and I rolled up to Flowery Branch this morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to do a live show from Atlanta Falcons training camp. When we got there, and if you've ever been up there, you know what I'm talking about, the red light in front of the training camp facility was off.
Yeah,
it wasn't flashing. It was off.
Unreal.
So Bo and I quickly started working the phone lines, talking to whoever we could. I still have a ton of questions. Hopefully we'll get those answered throughout the show. But and then eventually we came to the realization this might not happen from Flowery Branch. So, of course, we get on the phone with our lovely co-host Maria Martin and say, hey, wherever you're at, stop what you're doing. Things are changing quickly. So I don't know where you were.
I was 5 minutes from the facility. And I was like, good. What do you mean?
Not good. Trust me. We went across the street and tried to find power outlets to see if we could get off the ground, but it didn't end up happening. So we made the quick drive back down to Midtown, which if you've ever been to Flower Branch, it ain't close. So we made that happen. If you want to see what that looked like, you can go to our Twitter or X or whatever you want, Twix or whatever you want to call it, at 929 Morning Shift. You can check out that video that Bo and I posted just a minute ago. But nonetheless, hopefully they get that power up and running because these boys got some work to do today.
Yeah, they do, and I think they're still working on it. You know, my time at Cobb County Parks and Rec in college and high school taught me that there are always power outlets in the hubs of softball and baseball complexes.
Press box area.
Apparently, Flowery Branch didn't get that memo
until today
because theirs didn't have it on the outside. And, you know, had I had never set off an alarm in a concession stand or a press box up there, I would have tried to venture up there. But I said, you know what? I have set these alarms off before. I'm not going to do it again. And to the nice gentleman in the black truck that decided to cut us off and then flick me off, or flip me off, whichever one you'd prefer.
Yeah, which one is it?
I don't know.
Hello to you too, sir.
Wait, did you guys have your flashlights out when you were out there trying to find out where it was?
Well, our flashlight on our iPhone flashlight.
Right. not a flashlight lying in your truck.
I didn't have that flashlight like the police officers carry.
Yeah, no,
I did not have that one.
Maria, it was funny. You would have thought that we just went through. I mean, and obviously some bad weather did roll through last night overnight, but you when you walk up to the facility, I mean, it's blacked out other than like the cell phone light coming from the guard shack, and then there's a bunch of people like out around near the field, and it looks like they're searching for something, you know what I mean, like they're looking for a lost ring or something out in the grass, because man it was an eerie sight, to be honest with you. You look on one side of the road and you have power outlets and you have street lights on and parking lot lights, and you look across it, and anybody that's been up there, like I said, that place is in the woods. So there's nothing like going on behind it that's going to light it up, like completely out and not even a flashing light. But hey, it's good to be back in studio at least, and we'll make sure we get back out there. I know Maria's going to get back out there today as well. We got a chance, Bo and I, to visit with Drake London. You'll hear that sound coming up at the top of the next hour. Maria, I know you visited with some players yesterday as well. Who did you talk to, and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, we were talking about the Olympics, actually. So I did I did a really fun piece with them. I actually, every single guy that was brought over to me, I said, I'm going to show you an Olympic sport, and you're going to tell me which of your teammates would medal in this sport. And it was actually fantastic. It was so good. Mike Hughes hit a backflip. You heard that correct. Go look at it on my Twitter.
Rhea_Martin.
Yeah, it was really funny. And someone actually sent me a video of Drake London talking to the rest of the media. And he goes, wait a second. Did you just see him hit a backflip over there?
Pause.
So it was hilarious. It was good.
I saw your Twitter handle last night. Dylan sent us a tweet that you had put out. And I think of this exact thing. And are we supposed to call you Rhea? Is that what you go by?
That's a good question. So when I was in college and I was making my Twitter, I think that was in college. I don't really remember. Anyways, Maria Martin is a lot more common than you think. And I didn't want a ton of numbers on the end of my handle.
Yeah, good point.
So I was you know what? Yeah. Let's just chop my name in half.
You can imagine me trying to find the Mike Johnson handle. It was not
exactly.
quick side note. Do you remember what or why you decided to get on Twitter? And do you remember what year it was?
No.
Yeah.
I do, actually.
What
you
was yours?
Do?
Yeah,
I remember exactly the moment.
You know why? Because it was random. Because I was anti social media. I don't do that. It's stupid.
Anti social media.
Yes. And I was producing Mike Bell and David Pollack. As everyone knows, David Pollack, Georgia player, went on Game Day, and Pollack was like, "Dude, you got to get on Twitter. It's great." He's like, you can see news, blah blah blah. He's like, me and Pollack, he was like a locker room relationship. He's like, come on, moron, get on Twitter. Just get on Twitter. And so I got on Twitter. And
the rest is history.
It was 2009. And then, I became infamous on Twitter in Atlanta sports.
I believe mine was before that. Mine was either 2008 or 2007. It wasn't long after Twitter got off the ground. And I was watching, I want to say, SportsCenter or something on ESPN. And they were like, hey, Shaq has promised to tweet at halftime.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, what's a tweet? And, I'm like, what the heck is a tweet? And so I'm like, I'm watching the first half of this game. I don't even remember, where he was playing at the time or what he was doing. But I like quickly loaded it up and I follow Shaq. It was like the first person I follow. And then he lets out a halftime tweet and just says, shh.
Like, that's it? That was his first ever tweet?
That was the halftime tweet. I was like, man, the marketing of this guy is absolutely insane, man.
Did you feel like it was worth it to download the app after you saw that? Or?
First of all, I have a love-hate with Twitter. Okay. I loved it for a long time. We talked about this last time. I got into high school coaching for a few years and completely dropped it. I was like, oh, I don't have time for this. Then parenting happens and all the other stuff. But getting back on the radio, I love actually getting a chance to interact with people that are listening, which makes it all the more fun, as both of y'all know, getting a chance to communicate. Speaking of communication, I want to get this sound. Zach Robinson yesterday, and let's jump right into this Falcons training camp, even though we might not be live. We will eventually today at 92.9 be your eyes and ears of the Atlanta Falcons in training camp.
Well, we have to go back up there because that's where you left your truck.
That's a great point.
I was
going to
say.
Which I'm still confused on why you jumped in with me, but I mean, it was okay.
Well, we were both going back to the same place anyways. Zach Robinson yesterday was asked about Tyler Allgeier and his role on the football team.
Yeah, Tyler's going to have a great role in this offense, and he just a guy that just wants to get on the field in any way. And so, you know, Mike Petrie in that room, like those guys are so tight, so close-knit that has been from day one, you know, with Petrie. You know, that role clear that you're talking about has definitely been established. And so, you know, you got to pick your spots with him, how much he can get on the field. Flow of the game sometimes dictates that. We can say, hey, you know, you're going to play this amount of snaps. Next thing you know, you're playing the whole game. So football's, you know, a crazy game like that, but certainly Tyler's going to have a big role, and certainly at certain points of the season we're going to be leaning on him.
Marie, I want to start with you on this because I think you, Bo and I sometimes kind of get weighed down in the X's and O's and the, all this. I think you have a broader pulse kind of on this team. Tyler Allgeier, in a lot of ways, I don't want to say the forgotten man, but just not many people are talking about him. You talk about the first-round picks, and you talk about can Kyle Pitts finally, you know, get his numbers with Kirk and Bijan. What's he look like in year two? And Drake kind of taking that. Like, Tyler's like, you forget that 2 years ago he's a 1,000-yard running back, right?
I'm really glad that you made that point because all I've seen all offseason doesn't include Tyler Allgeier. And I'm like, do you guys forget that he was quietly slightly better than Bijan last year? Yeah. Bijan was the first-round draft pick, and so everybody is looking at him to do everything. But Tyler was consistently very good each game, and obviously that goes with usage as well and the way that they were able to use him in that offense. But I really like to watch how he's developed with the Falcons as well. And it's funny because yesterday in my Olympics questions, I said who I let them pick themselves for one thing, and that was my rule, and they couldn't pick themselves again. And Tyler picked rugby for himself, and he said,
yes.
Right. And I said, that's interesting. Why? And he goes, do you see the way I run?
Yes.
And he said, respectfully. Respectfully, that's the way that I run. And so that just brings in my point that he is so underappreciated by a lot of people, and I'm really excited to see what Tyler does.
I got to be honest, but that's one of the best answers I can imagine. I would have picked rugby for him. That's a great answer when you see him get those yards.
Yeah, rugby is the perfect sport for him. I mean, I watched the video of the women's team yesterday getting, I think it was the bronze that they got. And
they did.
And forgive me for not knowing the girl's name, but she flat ran over that other player. I mean, ran over and then just hit it was very Tyler Allgeier-esque, because, you know, broken tackle, and, oh, you didn't think I could run? Watch this, and boom. And that's what Allgeier does. You know, I think that Allgeier wasn't the forgotten man going into last year, but I think after last year, we got a taste of what Bijan can be, and now you've stacked up all these first-round offensive picks, and you've got an offense, you're excited for a new system, you know the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, let's just put it, the Shanahan family system in a type that they're running, and it just amps you up for what that could be. And so Allgeier just kind of, he's not named in it because he doesn't have that hype around where he was drafted. But not all great players are first round picks.
No.
I mean, and so I think that if you think, and I know Zach Robinson hasn't, but if you think Zach Robinson and the world thinks Zach Robinson has forgotten about what he can be, then you're sadly, sadly mistaken.
No, yeah. Listen, we're going to go to break. We're going to catch our breath for a minute. We come back, we will talk a little more Falcons, and we'll also head into those Braves last night. To borrow a phrase from Bo, good Bryce, bad Bryce, medium-sized Bryce, never know what you're going to get, but Bryce Elder was good last night. We'll talk about those Braves on the other side of the break. This hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Be back in a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Maria Martin live from the Kia Studios here in Midtown. Not by choice. We drove up to Flower Branch this morning to be live from training camp once again to bring you the latest and greatest on the Atlanta Falcons. And the power was out at the facility this morning. I am so curious, and we'll hopefully get some more updates as we move throughout the show. I'm so curious if the players actually slept there last night. Because word was the power was out all night, and obviously with them, you know, living there right now full time, right behind the practice field, I can't imagine they had power, and I have to think that they were probably like, "I'm going home, dude." You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you just head to the house where you got your box fan, like Drake London was talking about yesterday, and everything else going on? Bo and I visited with Drake London yesterday after practice. You will hear that coming up at the top of the hour. Maria visited with a number of players yesterday and talked Olympics. I kind of glossed over this a minute ago, but I want to hear it now. You said you showed them different sports, and you made them pick which of their teammates would compete in each sport. Which sports did you show them? Because now, after Tyler, you know, after Tyler Algier says rugby, now I'm curious what exactly you were showing these guys.
Yeah, I just tried to pick ones that I knew that they would make very funny.
Right, exactly.
So water polo was one of them.
Yes.
Hurdles.
Yes.
A lot of people pick Kyle Pitts for that. Because
sure,
they said he's got long legs, right. And you know.
I don't know if that is that a good thing in hurdling. I guess.
Well,
it is.
I don't
you gotta
really
be tall.
You gotta be fast too,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
So you definitely have to be fast.
Yeah, so that's why I think Wapitz fits it well.
I don't really know the art of hurdling, but I think you have to be fast.
Well,
seems like it's a little bit
I think
of finesse.
You're right.
I'm gonna tell you something. I think I'm an expert on everything. So to me, it's just running fast and jumping while not breaking stride. Is that not hurdling to a T?
Breaking news, Bo, the track coach.
I think that's how you do it. 100 meter dash.
Okay.
Which I got a variety of answers on that. Weightlifting.
Okay.
Golf.
All right.
Breakdancing, to which.
Oh, I was going to say, you had to have done breakdancing and or skateboarding.
Well, Lorenzo Carter said he could do the worm. And I was like, I don't think that counts.
No.
No, that's not
going
to work.
Gymnastics, which is when Mike Hughes hit the backflip.
Yes.
Table tennis, which is a hot topic in the locker room.
That's a great one.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a 58-year-old table tennis player in the Olympics, by the way.
I wonder who the champ is now, because I know Julio used to be the champ.
The table tennis champ?
Yeah.
He wasn't in college. He used to get smoked, but I'm sure he got a lot better once he got here.
I thought the latest and greatest table tennis players was Young Wei Koo.
Yeah, that's what everyone told me.
Well,
yeah.
Dude, first of all, this is so irritating, because that guy gets to practice a lot. Let me just put it that way, okay? So, anyways.
You're right. And the last one was triathlon, to which many of them didn't know what that was, so.
Did anybody pick any teammates to be breakdancers other than him saying that he can do the worm?
Well, when I asked Jake, he said, not me, next. and Beckett, his oldest son, they're about to have their second child. Beckett took my card and threw it on the ground at the same time. It was perfect.
Yeah. This is going to be great. And as a matter of fact, I think, Maria, we'll build off that throughout the show. Maybe we'll come back in and I'll start picking sports for Dylan and Day-Day and Bo and maybe you as well.
I'm curious who got picked for weightlifting, because when we were at that second year high school and the players walked out, I just looked over at Chris Dahlman, and his calf muscles are the size of Mike's head. So I imagine he would be a weightlifting. Yeah, he would be one of those power lifters.
Did any of y'all see Eddie Goldman walk past us yesterday?
No one picked Eddie.
That guy looks like an oak tree.
He, you know, he,
it's a good
yeah.
comparison.
Oh, he was.
Someone picked Jake geez. For weightlifting, by the way.
He's a lot. I'll say this, and I told him this to his face. He's a lot more chesty than he was back when he was a rookie. You know what I mean? You can tell he's definitely bulked up top. But listen, when he's wearing a t-shirt, he looks like he's in shoulder pads. So good for him, man. That's why you can play as long as he is. All right, go up to Milwaukee last night. The Braves obviously getting a massive victory with Bryce Elder on the mound. You got the good version of Bryce. Not only that, couple taters flying out of the ballpark. I think Austin Riley gets, what, 4 hits last night? Jared Kelnick, in front of possibly 80 family members, Bo, hits a, we'll just call it a tater salad. It wasn't a mashed tater or anything like that. Just barely skimmed the wall, but a lot better.
It was Oppo, so you got to give him points for that.
You do give him points for that. You could tell how jacked he was, and they show his family section there on Bally, which thankfully is headed back to Comcast very, very soon. And you could tell how jacked he was, man. But a great offensive night, and it was beautiful to see. And you didn't even have Jorge Soler back in the fold, who we'll talk about in just a minute. But it's good to see them bats clicking last night.
Well, the bats, they did well, but we have to talk about Bryce Elder first and foremost. What he did last night, he was in complete command. Only one walk, which means you're getting good Bryce. For the fact that he had 7 strikeouts was the most impressive part. In fact, the way he was getting them. He had some pitches working last night. I think it was his slider last night that was working really well. I mean, it was just so fun to see. I was really impressed with what he did last night. Yeah, the bats did what they're supposed to do when you have a guy like Holmes or Elder going that you need to give some support so they can relax a little bit and not feel the need to be perfect. And that's exactly what they were. And Elder, I mean, he got in some spots last night, Maria, that I was like, nope, got out of them. I mean, the word I've used for training camp, Maria, and my word is refreshing. And last night, Bryce Elder's performance was
one word
refreshing.
Wednesday. It's which one Wednesday, okay? We're not doing one word Wednesday.
Well, that's my word for training camp, okay? Refreshing. You can have yours, but that's mine.
Refreshing.
Big. Refreshing.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a big word, Dylan, but it's my word.
Maria, listen, word. Bryce Elder last night, and we haven't had a chance to catch up with you. It's been a few days, but you added Soler. I think a lot of people thought you'd get a starting pitcher at some point during the trade deadline, but I got to be honest, after seeing Grant Holmes on Monday and Bryce Elder last night, I'm like, okay, let's ride, right? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have enough depth to survive. I'm not going to say thrive, but I think they have enough pitching depth to survive. And Alex Anthopoulos, when he talked yesterday after the trade deadline was over, he said, look, you're not going to fill every hole. We're not going to get everything that we want. And it's not like they didn't effort getting other guys. They did. He admitted that they went out and tried to get perhaps another arm to add to the arsenal, but that didn't happen. And they knew they needed a bat in a big way. And Jorge Soler, evidently, they had been going after for a long time. They had their eyes on him since 2022, even. There were conversations back then. And so this was really something a long time in the making for the Braves. And I think it's good, especially because he hasn't been fantastic this year. But as of late, his slash line's starting to look a little bit more attractive, which is perfect timing when it comes to getting back to Truist Park in Cobb County, a place that he hits very well, and still looking for that baseball from 2021 from Jorge Soler.
There you go.
It's a good point. And, one of the reasons why he thinks he got going again was the fact that he went to the Giants and said, I want to bat leadoff.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm comfortable. And when Snit was asked, he's like, oh, yeah, leadoff. Yeah.
I know. Right. I find that so intriguing because I think that takes a lot off Jared Kelnick's back. And we loved on Jared Kelnick for the first, whatever couple of weeks that he had to hit leadoff. And it was like, man, this guy stepped into a role he didn't even know he was going to. And lately, it's just been bad. He kind of gets off the schneid last night, but man, he hasn't been able to hit very well in the leadoff role.
I kept hearing, so ever since Acuna went down, we need a Jock Peterson type personality. I actually think that Jared Kelnick is just a younger, less
loud,
polished, and loud version. Yes, it's a good point. It's a very good way to put it. Loud version. I like that.
Yeah.
Some would say I am loud. I'm not. My voice just carries very well.
Okay.
But he was a version of that when he stepped into it. But he did cool off because, one guy, one young player like that who still has yet to kind of come into his own in this league, it can't carry a team. Now you look at Soler, Riley, Olson, Ozuna. That's a hell of a way to start. Now, some would say you got to spread them out, the old thing, but I don't think you necessarily do, because then you can have Kelnick or some form or some order of Kelnick, Duvall / Murphy,
yeah.
And you're kind of got some pop through there. It's it's and then Harris, whenever he gets back, can get. I think
Lord
Harris
knows.
Goes. I think
he's
Harris,
on my fantasy team. Man.
I'm
going to
tell you something. When Harris comes back, do not be surprised if he is not at 8 or 9, because I think 9 is what suits him, especially with a Solaire type. Solaire can even steal bases. He did play right field the last couple of years for the Marlins. That's where he's going to be. They basically confirmed also, Maria, that Solaire will be here the next 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think having depth is a problem. They love it, and they're going to pick up Ozuna's team option. Alex basically said that yesterday without saying it. You know, he said, "Yeah, our plan is for him or whatever."
You're getting an elite DH in Marcelo Ozuna at about half of the market value. You just absolutely have to, and I think it's a $16 million team option for next year. So you absolutely had to do that. Speaking of a heck of a start, let's hear from Bryce Elder about that start yesterday.
It's not too bad. I think I had a pretty good break since the last start, but I was kind of curious on how I was going to feel, but it felt pretty good. I was glad to come up here, give us a chance. I thought tonight I just kind of made pitches when I needed to where I hadn't been the past few weeks, so I was pleased with it.
I'm watching this start last night, and there's one thing I noticed, because you get the 4 runs, and I think the second inning, and when you watch Bryce Elder, I'm watching that K-zone they obviously have on the broadcast these days, and at no point did I see a ball not touch the line that was a strike. There was nothing over the middle of the plate, and that's so important for Bryce Elder. He doesn't have – I mean, I think he's getting up to 93 these days. He doesn't have that next-level speed that you see from a Spencer Schwellenbach or some of these other kind of role-player starters. But if Bryce Elder, if you're going to get the best out of him, and it's now – his next start will be in August if he has a next start – it's massive moving forward that he does not throw some of these bean balls down the middle.
And I thought Tuesday's outing was some of his best stuff that you're going to get from him right now. So I think that was really important to take that away. And I think that's good enough for the Braves and what they are. I mean, he struck out 7, only walked 1 guy. That's good for Bryce. I was happy with that
great
outing.
Point.
And getting run support, as Bo had mentioned earlier, and you guys were talking about, run support is critical for a pitcher like Bryce. And it was good to see everything kind of clicking. Even though they left 11 on base last night, which we don't love, they were still able to capitalize and have a couple of guys who'd been slumping for a long time, i.e. Jared Kelnick, step up and help Bryce out. So I'm okay with Bryce doing what he did last night. If he consistently does that every time he's out, he's going to go up and down a little bit. Everybody knows that he's not a consistent pitcher. He's still working some stuff out, but I was happy with it. I'm good with it.
Yeah, when you don't have Morton next year, I think he's in line for that fifth starter, because I think you're not. Yeah. I don't think you're going to have Freed either. The thing I saw last night, though, real quick, Bryce Elder wasn't thinking up there. He was just pitching, and the speed that he moved on the mound was so incredibly quick.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just that shows confidence, but it also shows I ain't gonna sit up here and let myself get into my own head. I'm just gonna keep it moving. And he did, and he kept it moving through 6 1/3.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the Olympics, the gold medal winning gymnastics teams, and all the other craziness going on in Paris right now. You don't want to miss that. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Be right back in just a minute on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Mornings on The Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. Yeah.
On Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 6:42:30 in the morning shift rolls on. You got Beauregard, Squid Billy, Morgan over here. You got Maria Martin hanging out with us from 11 Alive. Mike Johnson, what are you trying to say?
Dylan's trying to set the
singing?
Mood here with this Pearl Jam.
It's a little bit toned down. You know what I mean?
I'm probably the biggest Pearl Jam fan at the radio station, but this isn't Better Man is not really the liveliest song to rejoin with.
It's hilarious that you all said, well, Bo, that you said this, because as soon as the song played, I was telling Day-Day back here, I was like, yeah, they're going to say something. They never like this song whenever it gets played.
you got to get to like the chorus.
But see, I absolutely love this song. I just don't know at 6:43 I want to rejoin with it in the morning, because it, you know, I want to hear some energy.
You know, some people just want to vibe out in the morning, Bo.
You know, Dylan.
If they just broke up with their girlfriend, this is great.
It's my breakup song, man. That's my breakup song.
You gonna play Yellow Ledbetter to go to break?
I might. Not yes.
You know, you haven't said anything to me yet, Dylan, about how good my top five was yesterday. And this is the first time we've seen each other. You know what I mean?
So, I told you it was solid yesterday. Marie, I was the first one to tell you. I texted you and told you it was good.
Tell him before he gets in his feelings. Cause
I know.
He's a big dude with big feelings. That's and once right. he gets in them, it's going to take a while to get out of them.
I'm a softie. Marie,
well,
I did a top five list yesterday of my pregame hype songs from college. And it was. It was a good list.
It was your best list yet. I mean,
I had people tweet me going, I almost swerved off the road. No, I'm ready to go. I was like, yeah, well, you could imagine.
I usually think your top fives are good, but you know when I think it's good and other people think it's good, that's how you know you ate.
Yeah.
That Pastor Troy was solid, bro.
You know, you feel me?
Hey. That Pastor Troy was solid.
Yeah!
Hey, feel me on that. Anyways, man, speaking of Pastor Troy, Arthur Blank spoke to the media yesterday. Arthur Blank spoke to the media yesterday.
Does he like Pastor Troy in his playlist?
I can only assume.
I mean, he's got to.
What a segue.
I'm sure they're friends.
Dude, Pastor Troy's always at the game and championship belt.
They're friends, and Pastor Troy probably has his shirt going like a helicopter in Arthur Blank's suite. He talked yesterday to the media, and look, man, he says that Kirk Cousins, he knew they were drafting a quarterback.
You know, thank heavens we don't always listen to the league. And thank heavens we don't always listen to the media, and thank heavens we don't always do what everybody else thinks we should be doing. We're actually very independent thinkers, and the decision about Penix in this case at number eight, I'll go back a little bit and say that we had made it clear to Kirk and others that, you know, we probably were going to draft a quarterback during this draft. As it turned out, that Michael Penix, for our coaching staff and our personnel department, graded extraordinarily high. They viewed him as a tremendous player. And that, you know, we've been through a situation post-Matt Ryan when we've seen that movie when we didn't have a franchise quarterback. And we didn't want to repeat that again.
I think this goes exactly to what we. First off, I'm sure Kirk Cousins knew they were drafting a quarterback, maybe in like the fifth or sixth round. Secondly,
right?
Not
eighth overall.
Yeah, I agree. I everything Arthur is saying is what we've said. You and I talked about this, and Maria, I said that this seems like one of those decisions where we are going to have every base covered when it comes to the quarterback, so we will double down on this because we are not going to be that little boy with our finger in the dam anymore, holding it together, you know, holding it from busting open. And that's exactly what this move was. Whether you like it or not, you have to accept that this is what it is. And look, I think so far in camp, I don't think Penix has played Mike Florio level football, because Florio thinks he's gonna, you know, the player's gonna pull a coup and kick Kirk Cousins out, but he's performed well.
I don't think that's going to happen either, and I've heard all of that, all of the hot takes that it's going to be Penix, you know, at the end of camp being the quarterback, and it's not going to happen. I don't see
extreme
any scenario.
Eyeball.
Right. I don't see any scenario where that happens, although he has, to your point, looked very good so far in training camp in the couple of days that we've seen him throw. But, you know, Arthur and everybody else has continued to repeat themselves in that after the Matt Ryan era, there was this carousel of quarterbacks that didn't make sense for the franchise, and they didn't want to be in that same position. We all know how important a quarterback is in the NFL. You have to have a good one to win championships. And they were just in this cyclical event with quarterbacks, and it wasn't working. And so when they had someone that they felt fully could be a starting quarterback in the future, they didn't want to miss out on that opportunity with Penix. And he had said a couple of times, you know, Kirk knew, and to your point, I think he did understand that it was a possibility later. I don't think it was explained to him, except in the seconds before he was chosen, that he would be taken at eight. That was a shock to a lot of people.
And here's the thing. And I love Arthur. I mean, God knows. We've talked about it on the show. I love Arthur Blank. I think the things he does for the city are incredible. My problem is this. It wasn't about drafting a quarterback. It was about who you didn't draft. And you didn't draft the corner. And you didn't draft the pass rusher. And I think that's where a lot of people, not, you know, well, we didn't listen to the NFL and the media. That's because everybody's wondering what the defense is going to look like still. And you still wonder, is it Arnold Ebiketie? Is somebody going to be able to pop on this defense that makes a lot of sense? And so I love what Arthur Blank's saying. I'm glad they didn't listen to the NFL and the media on the Lamar Jackson stuff like a lot of people wanted to talk about. I'm great. I'm on board with you. The problem is that when this defense goes out and gives up 42 to Philly or whatever it may be, you're still going to have to answer questions about why you didn't draft a Dallas Turner or somebody else there at 8 when you had the opportunity. And it's all about, hey, we're in win now mode, but we hope this guy doesn't play for 2 years. I think he's talking kind of out both sides of his mouth.
Well, yeah, look, what he's doing is what I would do and you would do for anybody that we work with. We're going to have their back. And he's having his guys back. I understand that. It's kind of like it's not the same, but it reminds me of the Lakers move to pick Bronny in the second round and then tell us how great he is and how he's earned it and how, you know, it's this and that and this. No, we know what it is.
Stop, dude.
Yeah, we know what it is. Stop. And it's okay. I actually like the fact that he said in Arthur Blank's own way, the reality of the situation is we lived in post-Matt Ryan era, which was like the Mad Max era for us as Falcons fans for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
And I get it.
We might have overreacted, but I'm good with it.
But I am good. And we all are good with it. But
you have to be.
But at this point.
That's what we wanted to hear Thursday night, April, whatever it was, when they made the pick. Say, look, we'll make no bones about this. We will never be quarterback hungry as long as Terry Fontenot is the GM of this team again. That's what Terry could have said. And I think everyone would have accepted it instead of, well, this and that. No, you thought he's a future franchise guy? And you were never going to be without another franchise quarterback in your era. And that's okay. That's fine.
The Falcons talk is going to roll on coming up at the top of the hour. You'll hear from Drake London visiting with Mia Bo yesterday. You don't want to miss some of his answers that he gave on some of the craziness. All right, we're going to head to an early break, I guess. When we come back, we'll hear from Drake London. We'll also get a little bit of that Olympic update like we promised just a minute ago. Simone Biles and Team USA bringing home the gold. Hey, stick with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mornings on The Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. Nice.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 6:42:30 in the morning shift rolls on. You got Beauregard, Squid Billy, Morgan over here. You got Maria Martin hanging out with us from 11 Alive. Mike Johnson, what are you trying to say?
Dylan's trying to set the mood here with this Pearl Jam.
It's a little bit toned down. You know what I mean?
I'm probably the biggest Pearl Jam fan at the radio station, but. This isn't Better Man is not really the liveliest song to rejoin with.
It's hilarious that you all said, well, Bo, that you said this, because as soon as the song played, I was telling Day-Day back here, I was like, yeah, they're going to say something. They never like this song whenever it gets played.
You got to get to like the chorus.
But see, I absolutely love this song. I just don't know at 6:43 I want to rejoin with it in the morning because it, you know, I want to hear some energy.
You know, some people just want to vibe out in the morning, Bo.
Dylan.
If they just broke up with their girlfriend, this is great.
It's my breakup song, man. Yeah. It's my breakup song.
You gonna play Yellow Ledbetter to go to break?
I might. Not yet.
You know, you haven't said anything to me yet, Dylan, about how good my top five was yesterday. And this is the first time we've seen each other. You know what I mean?
So, I told you it was solid yesterday. Maria, I was the first one to tell you. I texted you and told you it was good.
Tell him before he gets in his feelings.
I know.
He's a big dude with big feelings. That's and right. Once he gets in them, it's going to take a while to get out of them.
I'm a softy. Maria, well, I did a top five list yesterday of my pregame hype songs from college. And it was. It was a good list.
It was your best list yet. I mean,
I had people tweet me going, I almost swerved off the road. No, that's right. I'm ready to go. I was like, yeah, well, you can imagine.
I usually think your top fives are good, but you know when I think it's good and other people think it's good, that's right. How you know you ate.
Yeah.
That Pastor subcategories Troy was solid, bro.
You know, you feel me?
Hey. That Pastor Troy was solid.
Yeah!
Hey, feel me on that. Anyways, man, speaking of Pastor Troy, Arthur Blank spoke to the media yesterday. Arthur Blank spoke to the media yesterday.
Does he like Pastor Troy in his playlist?
I can only assume.
I mean, he's got to.
What a segue.
I'm sure they're friends.
Dude, Pastor Troy's always at the game with the championship belt.
They're friends, and Pastor Troy probably has his shirt going like a helicopter
in
Arthur Blank's suite. He talked yesterday to the media, and look, man, he says that Kirk Cousins, he knew they were drafting a quarterback.
You know, thank heavens we don't always listen to the league. And thank heavens we don't always listen to the media, and thank heavens we don't always do what everybody else thinks we should be doing. We're actually very independent thinkers, and the decision about Penix in this case at number 8, I'll go back a little bit and say that we've made it clear to Kirk and others that, you know, we probably were going to draft a quarterback during this draft. As it turned out, that Michael Penix, for our coaching staff and our personnel department, graded extraordinarily high. They viewed him as a tremendous player. And that, you know, we've been through a situation post-Matt Ryan, when we're seeing that movie, when we didn't have a franchise quarterback, and we didn't want to repeat that again. I mean,
well, I think this goes exactly to what we... First off, I'm sure Kirk Cousins knew they were drafting a quarterback maybe in like the fifth or sixth round. Secondly...
Right.
I
not eighth overall.
Yeah, I agree. I everything Arthur is saying is what we've said. You and I talked about this, and Maria, I said that this seems like one of those decisions where we are going to have every base covered when it comes to the quarterback. So we will double down on this because we are not going to be that little boy with our finger in the dam anymore, holding it together, you know, holding it from busting open. And that's exactly what this move was. Whether you like it or not, you have to accept that this is what it is. And look, I think so far in camp, I don't think the Penix has played Mike Florio level football, because Florio thinks he's gonna, you know, the player's gonna pull a coup and kick Kirk Cousins out, but he's perform well.
I don't think that's going to happen either. And I've heard all of that, all of the hot takes that it's going to be Penix, you know, at the end of camp being the quarterback. And I just, it's not going to happen. I don't see
Extreme
any scenario.
Eyeball.
Right. I don't see any scenario where that happens. Although he has, to your point, looked very good so far in training camp in the couple of days that we've seen him throw. But, you know, Arthur and everybody else has continued to repeat themselves in that after the Matt Ryan era, there was this carousel of quarterbacks that didn't make sense for the franchise, and they didn't want to be in that same position. We all know how important a quarterback is in the NFL. You have to have a good one to win championships. And they were just in this cyclical event with quarterbacks, and it wasn't working. And so when they had someone that they felt fully could be a starting quarterback in the future, they didn't want to miss out on that opportunity with Penix. And he had said a couple of times, you know, Kirk knew, and to your point, I think he did understand that it was a possibility later. I don't think it was explained to him, except in the seconds before he was chosen, that he would be taken at eight. That was a shock to a lot of people.
And here's the thing. And I love Arthur. I mean, God knows. We've talked about it on the show. I love Arthur Blank. I think the things he does for the city are incredible. My problem is this. It wasn't about drafting a quarterback. It was about who you didn't draft. And you didn't draft the corner. And you didn't draft the pass rusher. And I think that's where a lot of people... Not, you know, well, we didn't listen to the NFL and the media. That's because everybody's wondering what the defense is going to look like still. And you still wonder, is it Arnold Ebiketie? Is somebody going to be able to pop on this defense that makes a lot of sense? And so I love what Arthur Blank's saying. I'm glad they didn't listen to the NFL and the media on the Lamar Jackson stuff, like a lot of people wanted to talk about. I'm great. I'm on board with you. The problem is that when this defense goes out and gives up 42 to Philly or whatever it may be, you're still going to have to answer questions about why you didn't draft a Dallas Turner or somebody else there at eight when you had the opportunity. And it's all about, hey, we're in win now mode, but we hope this guy doesn't play for 2 years. I think he's talking kind of out both sides of his mouth.
Well, yeah, it's look, what he's doing is what I would do and you would do for anybody that we work with. We're going to have their back. And he's having his guys back. I understand that. It's kind of like the you know, it's not the same, but it reminds me of the Lakers move to pick Bronny in the second round and then tell us how great he is and how he's earned it and how, you know, it's this and that and this. No, we know what it is.
Stop, dude.
Yeah, we know what it is. Stop. And it's okay. I actually like the fact that he said in Arthur Blank's own way, the reality of the situation is we lived in post-Matt Ryan era, which was like the Mad Max era for us as Falcons fans for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
And I get it.
We might have overreacted, but I'm good with it.
But I am good, and we all are good with it. But
you have to be.
Yeah,
but
at this point.
That's what we wanted to hear Thursday night, April, whatever it was, when they made the pick. Say, look, we'll make no bones about this. We will never be quarterback hungry as long as Terry Fontenot is a GM of this team again. That's what Terry could have said, and I think everyone would have accepted it instead of, well, this and that. Now, you thought he's a future franchise guy? And you were never going to be without another franchise quarterback in your era. And that's okay. That's
right.
Fine.
The Falcons talk is going to roll on. Coming up at the top of the hour, you'll hear from Drake London visiting with Mia Bo yesterday. You don't want to miss some of his answers that he gave on some of the craziness. All right, we're going to do an early break, I guess. When we come back, we'll hear from Drake London. We'll also get a little bit of that Olympic update like we promised just a minute ago. Simone Biles and Team USA bringing home the gold. Hey, stick with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.